welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Thank God. I want to welcome everyone to the broadcast today. Father, I just give thanks for all men. I thank you, Father, for President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land, all the judges of this land. I thank you. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon all the authorities of all the lands of the earth. Thank God. Okay, let's worship the King, the Lord of Hosts.
And sin no more. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake to righteousness and sin no more. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake to righteousness and sin no more. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake to righteousness and sin no more. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake to righteousness and sin no more. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake to righteousness and sin no more. The Lord so much love he can make a perfect heart. Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord who reigns in wisdom and in power. Bless the Lord who rules my life with so much love he can make. Be filled with your glory. Let your courts be filled with your praise. And we will worship you, Lord, in the holy of holies. Zion rejoices again. And let the temple be filled with your glory. Let the courts be filled with your praise. And we will worship you, Lord, in the holy of holies. Zion rejoices again. And let the temple be filled with your praise, and we will worship you, Lord, in the holy of holies. Zion rejoices again. Let the temple be filled with your glory. Let your courts be filled with your praise. Rejoices again.
All right, I'm going to be speaking on two types of ministry in the church. I'm labeling this broadcast Minister of the Spirit. You know, there is the ministering of the Spirit and the ministering of the Ten Commandments. And we're going to look at how that affects people's hearts and lives. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 3:7. We'll start there. And I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, how many of you know what that is? Ten Commandments. Came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of his glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? Verse 9, if the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Okay, so this is clearly comparing the two different ministries, one, the Ten Commandments, and the other, the ministry of the Spirit. The Ten Commandments ministers death and condemnation. That's what verse 7 says. That's what verse 9 says. And the Spirit of God ministers righteousness. Now, I believe this will help some people that have trouble believing this. In the New Testament, we deal with some of the same sins listed or that are violations of the Ten Commandments, but we do it in faith. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. Now, this will take some time for you to get this, but it's saying these Galatians were bewitched from trusting in the gospel to trusting in the law of Moses to go into perfection. And we'll read that. Let's go to verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, we don't get the Spirit working in us to change our hearts by practicing the law of Moses. We get the Spirit of God working in us to change us by the hearing of faith, which is the hearing of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, how did we begin in the Spirit? Well, by receiving Jesus and believing that he died for our sins and rose again to justify. The same way we begun in the Spirit to be changed is the same way we continue to be changed, by the Spirit of God. Okay? And in the context of these scriptures, the Spirit works as we believe the gospel. That's what it started in verse 1. Now, we see here we're made perfect by the ministry of the Spirit of God. And it comes out and it's asked us this question, are you made perfect by the flesh? It's saying, are you going to achieve moral excellence, be made more righteous by practicing 10 commandments, and if you're doing that, you're trying to perfect yourself in your own ability. That's what it's saying. You know, I prayed these scriptures for years. Jesus died for my sins, and he was buried, and he rose again to justify me. I would pray, Jesus died, and I died with him. Jesus was buried, I was buried with him. Jesus was raised from the dead, I was raised up with him through the faith of the operation of God. It's a good prayer. And as you get this in your heart and you learn to pray this, get revelation of it, faith works. At any given moment while you're praying this or speaking this, you can put to death more sin in yourself. Now, there are people that are hung up on we must keep the law of Moses because, you know, we all know we shouldn't lie or steal or commit adultery or worship other gods, other things written in the Ten Commandments. Of course not. And I'm going to keep speaking this, and this is my prayer, the Lord give everyone understanding. Okay? We see here in Galatians, we go unto perfection by the Spirit of God and not by the law. But we do have to put off the works of the flesh, which are violations of the Ten Commandments. But the difference is, in the New Covenant, we do it by the Spirit of God and not by trying to do it by our own flesh or perfect ourselves. And trying to keep the law of Moses is you trying to just be righteous in yourself. And by crucifying the flesh, we put off these works of the flesh that are violations of the Ten Commandments, but we do it by the Spirit. And this is what we need to get a hold of, because we know if we practice the law will work on the sin in us. We can see that in Romans 7. But we have to put off some of the same works of the flesh that are violations of the Ten Commandments, but we want to do it by the Spirit. Now, how are we going to do that? Romans 7:6, International Standard Version. But now we've been released from the law, and I think King James says delivered from the law, by dying to what enslaved us, that we may serve in the new life of the Spirit, not under the old writings. You have to be delivered from the law so that you can live by the Spirit. Very important. Okay, so the body of Christ must get a hold of this, that we have to be delivered from the law of Moses to serve by the Spirit and to go into perfection by the Spirit of God, not by the law of Moses. Turn to John 16:13. I'm going to read out of the New International Version. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The Spirit of God guides us into the truth of what Jesus accomplished on the cross and ministers that to us and sets us free. Like our old man was crucified with Christ, the Spirit of God will minister that to you, and as you're believing it, Spirit of God will put to death sin in you because it was done on the cross. You were healed by his stripes. Spirit of God will minister to you that healing. Okay? Now, the Word of God doesn't teach because we're not under the law of Moses, now we commit all these acts or these works of flesh that are violations of the Ten Commandments. Okay? And this is where people are hung up on, because you said we're not under the law. And they say, oh, you're just saying we can lie, steal, commit adultery, have I done? Nah. Let's deal with that. Let's look at some of these. Let's look at the works of the flesh and see how we deal with them in faith. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, reveling, of such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, here are three works of the flesh that are violations of the Ten Commandments: adultery, idolatry, and murder. Now, how do we deal with them? Well, we just go down three verses. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Let's read that in that same scripture in the complete Jewish Bible. Moreover, those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have put their old nature to death on the stake, that's on the cross, along with its passions and desires. So these works of the flesh, which are some of violation of the Ten Commandments, we put them to death in faith by the Spirit of God. Now, how do we do that? Turn to Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay, that's water baptism. Through water baptism, we receive that our old man, our sin nature, was crucified with Jesus. We start to put him to death. And as we continue to believe this, our sin nature keeps being put to death and will pass away. And I've experienced this in my life. I have parts of the old me that are no longer here. They're dead and gone. They're dead and gone. If all I did was practice the Ten Commandments, that Ten Commandments would work on those different deeds of the old man and make it more sinful. And it wouldn't pass away. It wouldn't put it to death. See, so through water baptism, using your faith of what that you were crucified with Christ, this is dealing with sin in faith by the Spirit. Now let's look at another violation of the Ten Commandments that we put to death by faith or in faith by the Spirit. Turn to Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So you may ask, how is that putting a lying to death? We'll go back three verses and we'll see what it's talking about in context. See, it says, wherefore, in verse 25, and this is referring back to verse 22. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So lying is a characteristic of the old man. It's one of his deeds or works. And we have to put him off. Now, this teaches us that the passing away of the old man or your old heart isn't instantaneous, but a process. We get baptized in water. Continue to use our faith in prayer or simply speak, our old man was crucified with Christ. Keep reckoning the old man dead and continuing to put him off and resist yielding to him, and he will pass away. This is dealing with sin in faith, okay? You won't get the job done. You can spend the rest of your life saying, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not. That does not make the old man pass away. That sin will stay there. And it actually teaches us that, like in Romans 5:20, it says, by the law, sin abounds. Okay? It makes you sin more. It's the strength of sin. It says that it works on the sin in us, Romans 7, and makes it exceedingly sinful. But through faith in the gospel, you put it to death and it passes away, and then you won't have that problem anymore. Okay, I think this would be a good place to take a break, and let's put a song in here. Let's do Shadow of His Wings by Pamela Pontia. Thank you.
of the peace your love can bring. Night will fall, but I will not be afraid when I dwell in the shadow of your wings. In the shadow, in the shadow.
All right, now turn to Revelations 12:10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now this is talking about the devil. You can read that. I think it's in verse 8 or 9. And so the devil is the accuser of the brethren. You know, I had times when I knew the devil is accusing me of certain sins, and I would agree with the devil that I was guilty. And I would sit there and think, why am I agreeing with the devil that I'm guilty? And the reason why is I couldn't resist that condemning spirit was because I was committing different sins. But I knew it was the devil condemning me. I didn't know how to get around it. I didn't know what to do about it. I thought, well, he's got me. Well, turn to 1 John 3:20. Let me show you something. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart knoweth all things. Now, when your heart condemns you, God is right there as your Savior to give you the victory over your own heart condemning you. Do you see that? If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. And now, if your heart doesn't condemn you, the devil will have a hard time condemning you. See, that's why the devil could condemn me. My heart condemned me because of my sins. Now, some people that aren't as enslaved to sin as much as others, or they don't see they're enslaved to sin, would say, well, just stop doing these sins. Well, there are certain sins you can stop doing. I mean, when I first turned my life to the Lord, there are certain sins I just put out of my life immediately. I wasn't bound by them. You know, I got away from drugs and smoking and drinking, and I didn't have no problem with it. Other people are so bound, God has to set them free, or they can't help doing it. Now, I still drink alcohol, but I drink moderately, and I enjoy it, but I don't drink too much. And, you know, it says, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But anyway, there were certain things I just put out of my life immediately, and other things, like I used to have a problem with lusting after women. Every time I turned around, I was doing it. I couldn't stop it. God set me free from that. And that old man, that part of that old man of me has been put to death. That characteristic of the old man has been put to death, and he passed away. I don't have that problem. You know, so that's how you get free, is through faith. Now, let's read verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Now, we're addressing how we deal with sin and faith. But if your heart condemns you, your faith won't work very well. You won't have confidence towards God. Okay? But be of good cheer. I'm one of God's messengers, and I'm sitting here to help you overcome, and I'll show you how to overcome. Okay? Because you got to get your faith loose. And when you're in slavery of sin and your heart's condemned, how are you going to get your faith loose? Well, I'm going to show you how. Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not in flesh but in spirit. Now this word therefore is referring back to the 7th chapter talking about the slavery of sin. Let's read that. Romans, go back to Romans 7:14, International Standard Version. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am merely human, sold as a slave to sin. Now that's, we were all born in this world that way. By one man, sin entered the world, and sin passed upon all people. And when you got born again, you did not get totally set free from the slavery of sin. Yet that's why you have to get baptized in water. That's where you start to put to death the old man. Okay, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider the law as good. Now there is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, that's the slavery of sin, the sin that's in you. So there's no condemnation of those that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, people who receive Jesus make effort to practice the word. You're in Christ, and there's no condemnation to you, even though you still have sin. See, that's what it's saying. Let's read verse 2 in the 8th chapter of Romans. We saw in the first verse, it says there's no condemnation of those that are in Christ, walk not the flesh, but the Spirit. And that's in the context of you're still in slavery to sin. And the next verse says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. See, and so you're in slavery to sin, you're still committing sins, but if you walk in Christ, there's no condemnation to you. And that's setting your will to obey God, setting your will to practice righteousness, even though at times you'll fall short. But if you keep practicing, doing your best to practice the word, you'll be set free. It's through faith in the gospel and walking in Christ, you'll be set free. And there's no condemnation to you. And so you've got to put that in your heart. And as you do, you'll start to come out of the condemnation, and your faith will work better. And then you keep mixing your faith with the gospel, you'll overcome more and more. Turn to Romans 4:6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. He counts you righteous without works. Okay, verse 7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Come up this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteous. There it is. It's through faith. Now, the word impute means to charge against you or to count up your sins. There are people who God will not count up their sins. He will not charge them for sins. Now, who are these people? Who does this blessedness come upon? Well, we just read it's by faith it was reckoned to Abraham. Okay? So if you read on in the verse 12 and 13, fourth chapter, this blessedness of God not counting up or charging against you your sins comes on those who walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. You receive this blessedness through the righteousness of faith. Now, let me make this even more simple. This is the same as walking in Christ, which is making effort to believe the gospel and practice keeping God's word. That's walking in the faith of Abraham. And people that do that, that blessedness of God will not impute your sins. He won't count them up. I used to sit there and think, okay, God will forgive me, but now I'm doing it again. And God will forgive me, but I'm doing it again. Why? Because I was enslaved to it. But I as I begin to get a hold of, you know, there's no condemnation to me if I'm making effort not to do it. And then I begin to get set free from it. And my faith worked better and better. See, God meets us where we're at and walks us right out of the slavery of sin. And see, I wish and nobody taught me this. Nobody. I had to take the word of God and the spirit of God taught me. I was taught by the anointing. I went to a church where the minister would just sit there and shame us because of sin. And I thought, now he taught us we weren't under the law, but then he would shame us. He taught us, repent and believe the gospel. He taught us some of these truths, but then he kept on putting us down. Okay, 2 Corinthians, I finally got away from that place. Thank God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Now, this is not just God not counting your old sins, but he's not counting your sins that you're still working at overcoming. Isn't that so good? God knows that you're enslaved to sin. He knows you can't just make the decision to stop sinning. He knows you have to believe on Jesus, walk in Christ, and walking in Christ doesn't mean you walk perfectly. See, this minister, I used to go to church, this is how he read Romans 8:1. He said it over and over. He said, there's no condemnation. Those in Christ who walk in the Spirit. It doesn't say that. It says there's no condemnation to those that are Christ who walk after the Spirit. You have to walk after the Spirit, and the more you walk after the Spirit, the more you get set free from sin, and the more you get set free from sin, the more you can walk in the Spirit. See, so, and then he kept telling us over and over, y'all are not in the Spirit, y'all are not in the Spirit. And so he was ministering condemnation to us, just like he'd say, he that believeth on the Son of God is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And then he said over and over, y'all don't believe. See, so it's like, okay, you have to believe not to be condemned. You have to walk in the Spirit not to be condemned, but then tell us we're not. Well, God meets you where you're at. Okay, so God's not just not counting up your old sin, but he's not counting your sins that you're working at now. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making this appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin, that's Jesus, to be sin. He laid our sin nature upon the body of Jesus. Just like in the Old Testament, they laid hands on the lamb, I think it's a lamb and a goat, and their sins were transferred on to that lamb, and then the lamb was slayed. Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God who took away the sin nature. He bore it on his body. Okay. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm here to tell you Jesus died for your sins. And he's in the process of making you the righteous God. As you walk in him and practice your Christian faith, you will overcome. You know, and let me say this. There are two ways to bring God's people to repentance. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 7:9, New International Version. Yet now am I happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, so you were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation, leaves no regret. Now look at this. This is the other way of trying to bring people to repentance. But worldly sorrow brings death. Now, what does the sorrow of the world, What sorrow does the world have about their sins and faults that works death? Well, guilt, of course. See, they're all under the law of Moses, and a minister with a bunch of law in his heart will minister guilt to people. Now, and people who listen to them will get guilty. And a lot of ministers think that's how you bring people to repent, is to shame the people, make them feel guilty to get them to repent. But it says godly sorrow is where you're convinced of any particular sin and your heart is brought to the place you don't want to do it anymore. And it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And there's no guilt or shame, just a peace in your life as your heart has changed. You know, you have some sorrow about it, but it's not putting guilt on you. Now, to every minister out there who's putting guilt on people and shaming them for their sin, and you're doing that to get them to repent, I believe you're ministering the sorrow of the world, and it works death in you. It works death in the people. And you need to consider what spirit you're yielding to, all you ministers out there. Are you yielding the spirit of God that teaches people how to walk in Christ and show them that Jesus paid for all their sins and there's no condemnation if they walk in Christ and God's not imputing their sins to them? Or are you ministering the law and telling them, look what you did. You need to repent. You need to stop that. You need to get your heart right. You need to live right. And just keep telling them that, and you never show them how to overcome the slavery of sin. You never minister the spirit and the power of God to set them free. What spirit are you yielding to? You need to consider that. All right. If there's any person out there, that's all I'm going to talk about this for today. If there's any person out there that's never been born again, never been saved, say this prayer. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just call upon your name. I just receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you, Jesus, that you died for my sins. You were buried. You were raised again to justify me. Now, if you've said that prayer and you meant it, Spirit of Christ will enter into you. God started a work of salvation in you. All right? You're on your way to heaven if you stay in Christ. And to stay in Christ is to continue to believe on him and walk with him. You don't have to reach a certain level of spiritual growth to be with the Lord. You could receive the Lord and walk in him and die the next day and go to heaven. Man on the cross called upon the name of the Lord, and he went to be with the Lord. So it's a free gift, but don't turn back and practice willful sin and think you're okay. All right, that's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.